Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Sunday, January 5th, the biggest Vikings game in recent memory, Pete. I don't know that I remember one since maybe 2010. Vikings Lions today, Ford Field. Before we break this game down, I got to say, I love the fact that the Wilfs purchased a bunch of tickets at Ford Field for season ticket members to go in and watch the game at a discounted price. I love this. What a great, like, I don't know what you want to call it. It's gamesmanship, I guess. But it really is like, I guess what? Because this could go either way, right? I mean, it, you know, and you know this better than I do, that every coach, every NFL player coach looks for little things you can kind of put up on the bulletin board, right? To say, okay, this is what they're doing, so this is why we should, you know, be upset or play harder with more emotion. It's risky, but I still like it. I love it.
I don't know how risky it is, though, right? I mean,
that's what I'm asking is, does the opposing coach
use
does,
it?
Does Dan
Campbell?
Thank you, Campbell. Does Dan Campbell put that up there and go, this is how they feel about us, guys? They're bringing their fans here to try to rattle us, and we're not going to let them.
They're coming in scared. That's what I would say. If I'm Dan Campbell, I get in front of the guys and go, look, these guys are all about smoke and mirrors. That's why we're wanting to play against these guys today, and we're going to win this thing so that we can get ourselves in position. And I think that's a legitimate thing for him to say to the squad, quite frankly, before they get out there on the field and start looking at the Vikings, because They've got to come up with a few things. Their defense is so beat up, Dave. I have never seen a team. They've got 10 guys on the defensive side of the ball that are on IR presently. Maybe 11.
Wow. So, sounds like my fantasy team this year.
You and me.
My entire team was on IR at one point.
But, you know, you look at that, and then you look even, you know, we've always liked the fact that they've had this two-headed monster. Well, I say like the fact, if you're a Viking fan, you probably don't like it. But they have the two-headed monster in Gibbs and Montgomery, and Montgomery's out. So, you know, there's a lot of things that are sort of adding up for the Lions. And in a lot of ways, I think Dan Campbell is that kind of guy that, from a psychology standpoint, is going to get up there in front of everybody and point out all these things and say why they're still going to win this football game and they're going to have home field advantage. And let me say this, 2,000 seats, if they were able to accomplish every one of those 2,000 seats, how many seats are in the stadium, Dave? I'm saying 70?
It has to be 60 or 70, right?
Yeah, somewhere close to 70,000, I would bet. So,
Detroit draws well. I've been there. Like, those people get nuts for that team.
They're diehard. They are so diehard because they've had their heart broken just like the Vikings so many times over the years. And, you know, now it's the time. They've got, you know, arguably one of the best offenses in a long time, I think, in the National Football League, and not that far off of, you know, the greatest team on turf, right?
What they've done
and what Jared Goff has done this year has been pretty spectacular. And then the injury bug started to hit him a little bit. But I think that there's a lot of things about the Vikings that, you know, there's reasons why the Vikings should be very confident, I think. But also, they've got to figure out how they can get through that defense. The way the defense is beat up, they're going to be coming up onto the Vikings, I think, today, very much like the Vikings usually try to attack their opposing team. They're going to get, because they've got to. When you've got that many guys beat up and hurt and everything else, the defense is got to get some sort of an advantage, and maybe they start to, maybe they go after us pretty aggressively, and we'll see how aggressive they get.
Well, and the offensive line, if there has been a Achilles heel for this offense this year, it's been that. I mean, the offense has been good, but if there is a weak spot, you're right, it's attacking the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
Is this team, and this is a question I pose to you and I pose to our audience this morning as well on the WCCO talk and text line, 651-461-9226. If you can remember the 2009-2010 team, is this team better? And I'm not just talking about on paper, because I do, and I'll lay this out, I do think on paper they're better. Is this team better than the 2010 team in your mind?
You know, it's a great question, Dave. There's so many different parts that when you look at this team, I think they're better than a lot of the teams out there. But I would say this, one of the teams that I think is within the best of all time for the Vikings was that 1998 team that was 15-1. They literally had everything that they needed, and they had home field advantage even, and then they lose to Atlanta, right? So that's I think, the best team that I had ever seen the Vikings put on the field. And you know what? There was a lot of Super Bowl teams that were pretty daggone good back in that era, but this team is pieced together really well. If you want to, you know, kind of nitpick a little bit, though, Dave, how about this? We this year, the Minnesota Vikings, have 8 games where we've given up 360 yards or more on defense. And everybody keeps talking about where we are on defense and how good our defense is. And I just constantly just look at some of the numbers that are out there that doesn't really match up with that, in my opinion. So I don't know. It's interesting to see. The offense has been spectacular. Sam Darnold has been a complete shock. He's done everything right. He came to the right place. I guess the big question, you know, into the future, too, is what do you do with Sam Darnold?
Right? Oh, my goodness,
do you give him a 4-year contract? Because I don't think if he gets the franchise tag, I don't think that's what he was here for. You know what I mean? I think he was here looking for that longer term, looking for that 4-year, I don't know, $45 million
was he, though,
a year.
But was he? Or was he just – because I don't disagree with you. And if I can cut in for a second, because this is an important question. What are they going to do with him next year? And this week, it was last Sunday, I think, I had an epiphany moment. I was taking the garbage out, and I was watching Kevin O'Connell's locker room speech afterwards, which I love. It's my favorite viewing now on Sundays. They absolutely have to have him here next year. And I don't think it's a long-term contract, because I think Sam Darnold was looking for a chance to be a winner, and he's a winner here. Everywhere else, this is his fourth stop. New York was a mess. Carolina was a mess. San Francisco wasn't great. And now he comes here, and he is a winner. There's nothing else out there for you if you're Sam Darnold. If you're the Vikings, however, I don't give him a long-term contract, simply because we have seen too many times one-year wonders. And he can play great, and he's awesome this year. But if you're going to give him a long-term contract, and by giving him a long-term contract, you're basically saying, J.J. McCarthy, either you're going to wait or maybe get rid of him. I don't know.
Do you trade him for a first-round draft pick and maybe another draft pick?
Sam Darnold's 27.
Yeah.
He'll be 28 next year. He is. If you decide after next year, I think you have to franchise him. Pay him the money. But it's a try before you buy. So try him out one more time next year. I think he's happy with that, because I think he realizes that if he does it again, he gets his long-term contract. He's going to make, $40 million if they franchise him? Some ridiculous number like that.
Yeah.
So he'll make plenty of money. He's going to stay in an offense where he knows he can be a winner. I don't think, if he is a smart human being, which I do believe that he is, and his agent is good, they will sit there and they will say, Sam, do you want to go get $40 million or whatever over the next 3 or 4 years in Cleveland or not Houston, I'm just trying to, San Francisco, go back to San Francisco or somewhere else? Or do you want to stay here, take that money you're going to get, and potentially get a long-term deal and be playing in an offense that is poised to be a winner for a long time with what they have? if he doesn't say that that situation's better, then they're not paying attention. Then his camp is just not paying attention because it's a much better situation from here. And I would be shocked if he decided to go anywhere else.
And now, you've locked down JJ, right?
Yeah. I mean, so you've locked down JJ.
He came to the perfect place if he was able to step up, which he's done. And I was the most critical guy, probably in Minnesota, about Sam Darnold and USC quarterbacks in the NFL. And I'm first to admit that. But all that being said, I think that what I overlooked stupidly on my part was he's got all the pieces of the puzzle, right? You've got three great receivers, three really good tight ends, one of them probably pretty close to elite, right? You've got a nice running back that you were able to pick up from Green Bay. I mean, all the pieces kind of came together for Sam. And that's why I say I think he's staring at something and saying, hey, look, franchise tag, that sounds great, but I'm looking for 4 years. And the problem, too, is how much can you pay Sam, right? I mean, when you look at this, I mean, salary cap is another part of this whole thing, too, and it makes it that much more complicated. So I will tell you this. I was talking to a really good friend of mine who breaks down teams in the NFL, and I was just talking to him yesterday, and he was talking to me. He said, Pete, he goes, do you know how many people in that secondary, their contracts are coming up? And he said, pretty much all of them. So how do you pay those guys and keep that defense, you know, pretty solid in the back part of it? And how do you keep, you know, where is the money going to come from to be able to do any of the different scenarios to try to keep Sam here and keep him happy, right? I mean, it's pretty complicated right now, I think, from a financial standpoint as well.
I mean, the other part of this, too, is that he's done all this without Christian Darrisaw being here most of the year, you know, arguably the best offensive lineman that the team has. So I think that's important, too. Yes, I get it. They're going to have to pay everybody. But I just don't. I guess that's the upside. If you decide that he is a long-term contract, you can structure it in such a way that it's not as heavy of a cap hit next year. Right, then you can bring in some more players.
You know, and I highlighted all these guys that we're going to have to sign in the secondary, and here's another problem too, and I'm picking on the defense because I think it's valuable to look at that, and you can pick on the defense. They're in the bottom five teams in passing in yards against in the entire NFL. They're in the middle pack for total yards in the NFL. I keep hearing about how great our defense is every single week. I listen to this station and other stations, and I hear about this, and I just question in my head, what are they seeing that I'm not seeing? We give up a fair amount of points, not a lot, but some, and we certainly bend, and we haven't broke, but we bend a lot. And
yeah, they did again last week.
Right.
Very much so.
And then you look at the Lions, and you go, well, wait a minute. These guys are averaging, you know, basically they're number two in total yards. They're over 400 yards a game, Dave, 33 points a game. That's, you know, either number one or number two in the entire NFL. Their passing yards are amazing. And they've got a lot of pieces to the puzzle. So this will be an amazing game tonight. I can't wait for it, to be honest with you.
Into the WCCO talking text line, how many times have the Vikings put all their money in one player and patchwork the rest of the team, invest in the team? Good point.
It is.
But how many times have they come across a Sam Darnold in the last 20 years?
Never.
In the last 10 years. I mean, when's the last time you looked at the Vikings and said they've got their franchise QB? Nobody wanted to admit Kirk Cousins was that.
Right.
It certainly wasn't Sam Bradford. It certainly wasn't Case Keenum. It certainly wasn't Gus Frerotte or Tavares Jackson. You know, rest in peace, Tavares. But it wasn't Brett Favre because he was 39 when he got here, 40 years old.
Yeah.
When is the last? There wasn't a time that I can remember being here, and I've been here since on and off since 2000. I cannot remember since Dante Culpepper if the Vikings had a quarterback that they can look at and say, this guy is good, he's young, and he can sustain us for 2 to 4 years. I don't think of franchise quarterbacks as
give Gus Frerotte a chance.
I will not give Gus Frerotte a chance.
Come on. He's messing with you, Dave.
I know he is. But I'm just saying, this is the first time that the Vikings have had even close to anything.
What about Joe Webb?
Franchise quarterback.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah. How about Christian Ponder? Want to throw him in there too?
Who's the Tampa quarterback that was Vikings? Freeman. Yeah, Josh Freeman.
Oh, I was there for that experience.
Oh, my gosh.
The Josh Freeman experience.
Donovan McNabb. We can't forget about him.
Again, but all good quarterbacks, but not franchise potential.
No. Nope.
No.
This is it. So I think because this situation is unprecedented, it calls for an unprecedented game plan.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the game plan is franchise him for this year, pay him what he needs to pay, get another good look at him next year, and if you like what you see, then you pay him long term.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that puts a strain on what else you want to do in free agency, but all I can say is make it work. Make it happen somehow. I don't know how, but you make it happen somehow. Where there's a will, there's a way, Pete.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And I'll tell you what, this Vikings team is really fun. I mean, if nothing else,
they are.
Like you said, we're enjoying the coach after the games. We enjoy watching these games because Sam Darnold has really stepped up and he's done an amazing job. So there's a lot of reasons for fans to be extremely excited about our team. The fact that we're sitting there right now at 14-2, nobody picked that. Nobody.
Nobody.
Who you were.
Go
ahead, Dave.
To answer the question that we started with, that I do think that this team is better than the 2009-2010 team.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that simply because of consistency. And it comes down to one thing for me, and it bit the Vikings in that NFC Championship game. It's turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
This team is more careful with the ball than the 2010 team was. Yeah. Brett Favre had a penchant for throwing interceptions when you didn't want him to. Adrian Peterson had a fumble problem. Those two things to me together are what make this team better than the 2009-2010 team. Mm-hmm. Not the least of which is, I mean, Sidney Rice was great, but he wasn't. He's not Justin Jefferson.
No.
Percy Harvin was great, but I'd say that's an equal, that's a wash there with Jordan Addison. Percy Harvin's probably a little bit better. Mm. But, I mean, you know, after that, you've got Jalen Naylor who's played well this year.
He stepped up.
Johnny Munt, Oliver, you know, like all these guys who have pitched in. So we're way over time here. I'm sorry, Josh. Josh is going to yell at me. Go ahead.
I will.
Yell at me. We're over time. We'll take a break. Matt Collar will join us next, I believe. And I want to ask him if he thinks this team is better than the 2009 team as he is getting ready for this game in Detroit tonight. Sunday Night Football, big time game with Vikings. We'll talk more about it coming up next. You're listening to Matthew Collar joining us live from Detroit, Rock City. Good morning, buddy. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing just fine. Detroit's beautiful this morning.
Isn't it always? Is it cloudy? It's always cloudy there.
It's beautiful.
It's not too bad. It's a beautiful day here. I'm not even kidding. I'm staying by the river, so it's pretty beautiful. It's cold. I walked last night a little bit, and it wasn't great.
You walked at night in Detroit by yourself?
That's a really bad moment.
Oh, you had to go there. You want to be one of those people.
I care about you.
Minneapolis too, you know.
I care about you. I don't want you to get hurt, that's all. I genuinely do.
Fine.
Matt, we've been talking this morning, and as we love to do, we love to compare teams. And I'm wondering your thoughts on this, comparing this 2024-25 team to the 2009-10 team. What do you think, if you looked at these two teams head-to-head, which team is better in your mind?
Yeah, that's a hard one because I think 2009 is a tough argument to make against because of the quarterback and the running back. And I know Adrian had some fumbling issues in a particular championship game, and the quarterback threw across his body in that game, but think about, you know, putting Adrian Peterson, one of the great running backs in history, with one of the great running backs or with one of the great quarterbacks in history in Brett Favre, that's a little bit different than what the Vikings have in Sam Darnold, whose history is not exactly like Brett Favre's was, which was already, you know, a Hall of Fame career. But I do think Justin Jefferson has elevated his game even more than where he was before, because it's not just catching passes. I think he was always a high effort player, but this year we've seen him battle in ways that I think has raised the level of everybody on this team. You saw him last week, they throw a screen pass to Cam Akers and he pushes the cornerback into the end zone, allows that to be a touchdown. The details of his route running, the way he's dealt with the double teams, I mean, all that stuff, that's a huge factor for comparing, because Jefferson was better than any receiver on that team. I think the defenses are pretty equal, but Maybe the factor just has to be that this team has more wins than that team did. It's pretty close. I just think that there's always going to be that thing hovering in the back of your mind about Sam Darnold and whether he's going to turn back into something else. Personally, I think we've just gone too far for that. This is your quarterback. He's grown so much with Kevin O'Connell. He's playing like the guy who was supposed to be a number three overall draft pick. But if there's going to be a slight edge, it's probably just how much you would have trusted a Favre-led team. But both teams have tons of defensive talent. Both of them are great at stopping the run. This is what it is to be a real Super Bowl contender, which the Vikings are.
Matt, here's a quick question for you, and you just mentioned it because you, like everybody, has been giving Kevin O'Connell a lot of the props for what he's been able to do with Sam Darnold. And I was talking to a really good friend of mine the other day, just yesterday, and he said, you know, everybody says it's O'Connell. He goes, Pete, he's part of it, but the real guy is Josh McCown, who he and Sam played together with the Jets, and that relationship is great. And apparently the coaching that he's been able to give him, he probably doesn't give nearly enough credit. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you go 14-2 and you're headed into the playoffs, everybody is going to start to get credit eventually, you know, and I think Josh McCown is going to start finally getting talked about here. But McCown has not been a guy to pat himself on the back. I know that until recently, he's mostly wanted to stay out of the media eye. I know that when national reporters come in, they always want to talk to Josh McCown because they know him from the league, and he's turned down a lot of those requests this year, and I think he has been a really, really vital aspect of this coaching staff. I mean, you saw even from the beginning of training camp how hands-on he was with the receivers. One of my favorite things to watch, because Josh McCown is actually enormous. You have no idea how big this man is until you see him in person. And he runs routes for the guys because he did briefly play wide receiver in the NFL for a game for the Lions. So he's out there running routes for those guys, giving them feedback, and working really closely with them on every detail. He's basically an extension of what O'Connell wants, which, you know, when he hired McCown, the idea is you need someone who's seen those throws, who's done them themselves, who knows how the NFL operates on an X's and O's level. And then he's a great communicator. He has the trust of Darnold for sure, as you mentioned. You know, I really think that Kevin O'Connell, something that he doesn't get credit enough for, but is a major, major part of his success, is his hiring. The people that he's put around, I mean, think about Keenan McCardle has to be the premier wide receivers coach in the entire NFL, right? I mean, you look at even Jalen Naylor is developing, and Jordan Addison, the way that he's come along really quickly in these last 2 years. The offensive line coach, they lose Christian Darrisaw. They find a way to survive that with some moving pieces. Chris Cooper has done a tremendous job. So I think that that's one of Kevin O'Connell's hacks to being a great coach. You're right. The credit all goes to the guy who's wearing the head coach hat, but it really does take everybody to get to this point.
So, Matt, let me ask you this, because we had a lengthy discussion about this as well. By the end of last week, I was pretty convinced that the Vikings had no choice but to bring Sam Darnold back next year in one way or the other. My thought is you franchise him for a year and just make sure that you've got some consistency there. And Pete made a great point about, but then what do you do because you have a lot of other guys that you have to try to sign and give money to? Put on your GM hat here. What do you do next year with him?
Well, I think I can make Pete feel a little bit better with just the way they've organized their salary cap. They're going into next year with about $70 million in cap space to work with. So even if you franchise Darnold and it's somewhere in the range of 40, that's really not different than what they're paying for the quarterback position this year, because Kirk Cousins is already taking $28 million of dead cap on this year's salary cap, and they've worked around it to be a 14-win team. So if they were to franchise tag him, they could still sign those guys. They could still go into free agency and sign players. And one of the things that they've done really well, and this comes from the Wilf ownership being willing to write the checks for signing bonuses, is that they will sign guys with low cap hits early in the contract, and it gets bigger, but then they can restructure them later. So just to give you an example, I believe Andrew Van Ginkle's cap hit for this year is $3 million. And, of course, he's worth way more than $3 million, but that's the type of thing that you can do when your ownership will pay those guys. And we saw the Vikings do this successfully in 2018 and 2019 with the salary cap successfully. of being able to fit Kirk Cousins in, because it was the same sort of conversation. Why aren't they going to lose people? They didn't lose anybody from those 2 years. They just came up short. But as far as Darnold goes, I think we probably in Seattle may have just gone past the point where you could say, all right, hey, just move on and put in McCarthy. I think it would actually at this point be unfair to McCarthy. Hey, kid, I know you've never played before, but go match what that dude did and just playing like an MVP. But I also think that the NFL changes so fast. Mm-hmm. With quarterbacks, things happen, injuries, that you also don't want to bail on J.J. McCarthy or even make a long-term commitment here, because you can't be sure what a quarterback is going to be like year after year after year with still a fairly small sample size. So I think they can very reasonably split the difference, bring this roster back and even add to it, and push some of those decisions with the cap down the road a little bit. And then if they do move on from Darnold eventually, then you'll have J.J. McCarthy still on his rookie deal.
I'm so glad you said that, because I want to ask you this question now. There's been talk about this. If you get Sam, and let's just say rather than a franchise tag, you make the big move and you do give him a four-year contract or something like that, which is what he would want. What do you do with J.J.? I mean, and is there any possibility? What are the odds? Give me your numbers, percentages. Do they trade him? Do they trade him to somebody who really, really wanted him? And by the way, coming in this year, he'd probably be the number one quarterback, right, coming out of college. If that's the case, what would we get for him, and would that be a possibility that we get a first-round draft pick and maybe a pick or two after that as well?
So I think if they were to sign Darnold to an extension, the longest that would probably be 3 years, because that's what Geno Smith and Baker Mayfield got after they very similarly had seasons like this. I know they didn't win 14 games, but they had kind of those surprise emerge seasons from years of kind of battling, you know, being journeyman and that kind of thing, which is what Darnold has done. And it's really more like a 2-year commitment in those 3-year deals, the way that they're structured. So if they were able to do that with Darnold, you would still just keep J.J. McCarthy, and you would make it into kind of a Jordan Love type of situation. And I think what you would do is you would wait one or two more years to decide whether to trade him or not. His value is not going anywhere. Everybody knows that J.J. McCarthy was a great prospect coming out, top draft pick, and he has a great development track that he was on. He's got high character. He's got a ton of talent, and he's also stupidly young. I mean, even if they had Sam Darnold for 2 more years and then you turn it over to J.J. McCarthy, he'll be the same age that Bo Nix and Michael Penix and Jaden Daniels were this year, becoming rookies. So, you know, I think that we love to, you know, kind of talk about, well, how are they going to make that decision right now? But from their perspective, they absolutely love J.J. McCarthy. They love everything that he's even brought to them this year in the meeting rooms. He meets with O'Connell every week to go over some film and different things and talk about things that Sam Darnold did. So they're not going to just say, okay, well, let's just trade him for a first-round draft pick or something like that. They've put way too much into that, and I think they'd be happy to continue to develop him while seeing how it goes with Sam Darnold. And there might be a point where Darnold wins 13 games again or something next year, and they say, okay, well, look, we've got a top-5 quarterback, so we will trade J.J. McCarthy. But I think you can really delay that decision, and I do not expect them to trade J.J. McCarthy, and I think a lot of people are going to waste their time writing articles proposing fake trades for J.J. McCarthy.
I love it.
Matthew Coller, thanks for joining us on the Sam Darnold Power Hour. We appreciate it, buddy. Yeah. That's what it's turned into.
Hopefully you got one of the Wilfs tickets that you were able to get.
I got the best seat in the house up in the press box. It'll be great.
Just walk with a friend to the game tonight, okay, please?
Oh, my gosh.
Just be safe.
It's fine.
All right. Thanks, buddy. Thanks, enjoy the game tonight.
Thanks, Matt.
Matt Coller joining us, as always, fantastic contribution. Look forward to talking with him as we go deep into the playoffs. Let's hope. But a big game tonight. We'll step aside, take a quick break. We'll do the fast break. You're listening to The Huddle on 830 WCC. Wow, look at this. When is the fast break? Is it time
baby.
For the
Let's
fast
go.
Break?
Yeah, people
when
have been
are we
waiting hours
Josh
for
on
this.
The fast break. Look at all these texts at the text line.
Yeah. Hold the phone calls.
The fast
hold
break
the calls.
Already.
Don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. We get it. We love fast breaks. We're going to get this one out of the way because Pete just doesn't like football. I mean, basketball.
Wait a minute. What? I love basketball. What are you talking about? Yeah.
Hey, he's within arm's length. That's brave.
You know, Dave, I had season tickets to the Timberwolves year one.
That's
year
great.
One.
I think you should pick Josh up over your head and body slam him.
I didn't know the Gophers were around in 1920.
Wait a minute. I don't.
You're going to make Pete rip the sleeves off his sweatshirt.
Oh, no, not that.
This is coming. Yeah. They're coming off.
Yeah. Uh-oh. The Timberwolves dropped a bad loss to the Pistons in Detroit last night, guys. Meanwhile, Cat is chucking up double and triple doubles, double doubles and triple doubles left and right for the Knicks.
Yep.
Pete, I know we never start with you, so we're going to start with you for this one. Okay. Given the history of Finch and Randall and some financial betterment, do you think trading Cat was still the right move?
I think that they felt it was a move they had to make for the financial reasons because of the contract that he was going to be actually asking for, right? I mean, I think that was the biggest piece of the puzzle, and they got good players. But I'll tell you what, nobody seems to remember how good this guy really was as a seven-footer who can shoot from the outside and play inside. I think they regret it, Josh, to be honest with you. I don't blame him for regretting it because he's a good player. He's been there. He was a Timberwolf. He probably wanted to stay here the rest of his career, but they felt like they had to do it just from a salary, you know, sort of a perspective, I think, and they just can't afford to have too many players making $100 million a year.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not there yet. I still think that long-term, for viability reasons, that this was a good move. They're in 10th place in the Western Conference. They're 17-17. They're 500, right? I mean, are they going to win the Western Conference? Probably not. But the idea that they weren't going to take a bit of a step back losing Karl-Anthony Towns, of course it was going to happen. I think it's still too early to tell. I'm just not there yet. I know Cats, but you're right, Pete. We all forgot how good Karl-Anthony Towns was.
Yep.
And he was probably – do they regret it? No. Did they probably realize now that he was a bigger piece to this team's success than they had originally thought? Probably.
All right, Dave. Plug your ears for this one. Okay, you ready?
Uh-oh. Yeah, I'm ready. Well, I can't listen if I plug my ears.
That's true. Maybe you should just not listen.
Makes it a little tougher.
My guy, Baker Mayfield.
Oh, good Lord. Here we go.
4,279 yards. He is third in the NFL with that. Mm-hmm. 39 touchdowns, including three rushing on top of that. He is right atop the top three in that as well. 15 interceptions. We don't have to count that because, let's be honest, there's been a lot of interceptions among the elite quarterbacks. I was just looking at the stat sheet. A lot of them have 11. Sam Darnold has, I think, 13. 71.7 completion percentage, also in the top three in the NFL. I know Patrick Mahomes is kind of the top name being thrown around, Dave, but did they get it right by snubbing my guy Baker Mayfield from the Pro Bowl?
Do you think Baker really cares about being in the Pro Bowl?
No, but who does? I don't care. Let's be honest.
Did he get snubbed? I mean, he's one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL this year.
Oh, my gosh. I'm saving that clip.
On a team that absolutely needs him.
He's wearing a Baker Mayfield jersey.
Yeah, I'm wearing my Crimson jersey right now.
He's got the orange on.
Winning in, baby. Like winning in versus the Saints. Yeah, let's go.
I actually like those. However, they're 9-7.
Yeah.
They're 9-7.
Yeah.
And it's great that he's got, 4,200-plus yards. He's gotten almost 40 touchdowns. He's had a great season. His QBR is still only 61, though.
Wow.
So
I had no idea. I had no idea team records had anything to do with a Pro Bowl player, but here we are.
Well, but it doesn't. But what it does to do with it is, is said player propelling this team? If you took that player away, what would it mean?
Oh.
If you took Patrick Mahomes away from the Chiefs, what would it mean?
I think
Sam Darnold from the Vikings.
I think the Ravens would be just fine without Lamar. He's been pretty
average. Oh, come on.
For his career.
Now that I disagree with, but I will
clip
say
that one. That might be your of all your bad takes, the worst one.
That's a terrible take because
there you go. The
Lamar
Ravens would be just fine without Lamar.
You know, Dave, you know how many interceptions Lamar has this year?
Not many.
Guys like Darnold and some of these other guys have thrown more interceptions in a game than Lamar has the entire
year. He doesn't have many, does he?
He's got four. He's got four interceptions, I thought it was under five.
And
41 touchdowns. But I'll tell you what, if you took Baker Mayfield right now off the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, that is a completely different team. And I think that is something that is, it's a valuable way to kind of look at what they really have. And I think Baker, I know he's got the 15 interceptions. I don't know. That doesn't bother me. It's because he's aggressive and he's got the receivers. He gives
he's
them
a gunslinger,
that jump
yeah.
ball. Yeah, he's a gunslinger.
He is, and I don't mean this as an insult, he's very Brett Favre-esque, and I've always thought that about the way he plays.
He is, that's fair.
Also, to the national media, stop making Sam Darnold seem like he's throwing a pick every 5 seconds. I've heard all week this week, oh, Sam Darnold, those interceptions are creeping up. Have you seen the guy play football for 1 second outside of those picks? He's been pretty elite when it comes to quarterbacks this year. So let's not paint
a picture
that wasn't
picks have
painted.
Been... Yeah, and more than one of those picks were not his fault.
Correct.
I'll say that, too.
Yeah, and you could say that for probably the top three or four guys that are on this list.
He's only thrown 12 interceptions. It's not like he's thrown 20 or something like that either.
Right.
So let's
And if you look at interceptions and touchdowns, some of the touchdowns he's thrown are that he's thrown are dimes. Like, they've been really good tosses.
Incredible. Dimes, and clutch touchdowns, too.
Well, it might be the end of an era, guys. Tennessee suffered an embarrassing loss last week, and so did Georgia. They laid an egg as well in their respective playoff matchups. And the newly added Texas Longhorns are still holding on to their championship hopes by a thread. We know Ole Miss and Alabama, they've seen better days. Pete, is the era of the SEC dominance over?
Well, I've never really believed in the dominance of the SEC, to be honest with you. And they did.
What?
Well,
that's kind of preposterous.
Hey, well, no. Hold on a second. Now, you can look at the SEC each and every year that we've gone into this whole thing, and you've got Alabama and you've got Georgia. Who else? Right? I mean, after that, who else? Tennessee, they can be good every year, but they always choke a few games off and everything else. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, you look at the Big Ten, you've got Ohio State, you've got Penn State, you've got Michigan, you've got, you know, you start going through the list, you're like, well, I don't know why the Big Ten never gets any kind of, like, props for how difficult they are. And we've gotten even better, obviously, with the Pac-12 teams that we brought on board. So I think the Big Ten is still the elite of them all. And if you think I'm wrong, we've got two that are in the Final Four right now for the college football playoff.
Dave, I think I think Pete's been laying too much in the Hawaii sun
lately. Everybody loves the
Big
SEC.
Ten doesn't get credit. Okay. I hear all the time about Big Ten football. I'm so sick of it.
When I played for Tampa, we had a coach who came from the SEC, and every player that he drafted came out of the SEC. He just felt like that. Yeah. You know what our record was? 5-11, 5-11, and 5-11. So you've got to have more than just the SEC. You've got to look around. Big Ten is a big-time conference themselves.
I've always thought the Big Ten was better when, when you're looking at linemen or linebackers. But I thought SEC is usually better when you're looking at skill positions like running back, quarterback, wide receiver.
Look at Ohio State, man. And look at the receivers from Ohio State.
Yes, yes. But here's to answer your question, Josh. I do think the era of the dominance is over, and it's because of NIL.
Yeah,
these players, they stay 1 year and then they move on. I was watching. Oh, I forget which game it was, but it was the commentators were saying, "Oh, so and so player was here last year when he was in this game playing for this team." Oh. Yep. I'm like, we're switching on a yearly basis now. That it's silly, and because of that, the upside is that there's parity because any team, you know, if you have enough money, you can get yourself a blue chip, guy from another school. The downside is there aren't going to be dynasties as much anymore because players aren't going to stick around. Especially if they value money and exposure over winning. And I think that because of that, the era of any dominance is over, but certainly the SEC.
All right, one final quick one here. Dave, you and Pete both watched the Duke's Mayo Bowl, correct?
We did.
Beautiful game.
A lot of buzz around our guy Max Brosmer. According to the commentators, he might be the next best thing in the NFL. 7-year run in collegiately, and seems to be the Duke's Mayo Bowl king. He seems to be the talk of the town. Do we see our guy Max Brosmer going to the NFL? I heard he might be even a top three pick based on commentators were saying.
Those guys,
honestly,
they were drinking the Kool-Aid, I think, or the mayo or whatever they were. And could they, by the way, Dave, could they have mentioned mayo Was it every single time they spoke about a play that they
Are you anti-Mayo, Pete? I could tell. But
I became a little anti-Mayo.
Yeah.
I don't like making fun of commentators. I don't, because it's hard to do, so I usually stay away from it. Those guys were atrocious.
Atrocious. Yes.
The idea, they literally, what I think happened, and correct me if you think I'm wrong, they looked at Max Brosmer's stats, which are pretty impressive for the year that he's had, and they said, oh, this guy's going to be, he's going to be great. And he's going to, you know, 2,800 yards. He's got, 18 touchdowns to 6 interceptions. A good rating. Doesn't get sacked on. Okay, yep, that translates. But if you look at him, and he's a good player, and I'm not saying that he's not going to be in the NFL, because we've had Matt Collar has talked to him, I think it was Matt Collar, maybe it was Andy Greeter that said that he's going to be good, but is he going to be like an NFL starter? Probably not.
No.
I texted you, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's like this guy's going to be the next Drew Brees. I mean, he's 6'2", 225. But here's what I'll say for Max Brosmer. As the competition got harder, because he went from, goes from high school to college, plays well in his first stint in college, which is, I think, 1AA. Then he comes to major college football, and he plays really well there. So Max Brosmer's trajectory projects that he could look better and maybe even rise to the competition. Does that mean he's going to be a top 10 pick in the NFL draft?
No.
Goodness, no.
No.
There's no way.
No way.
Do I think he could be a backup in the NFL next year? Absolutely, I do. I do. I think, and could he be a guy that you go, where did this guy come from? And all of a sudden he's pretty good. Maybe. We just don't know. I think the upside's there, and I think the possibility's there.
Yeah, he's a stud, but that doesn't mean you're going in the first round, second round, third round. But he will get drafted by somebody. I think he's that good. He's got great arm talent. There's no doubt about it. And everybody talks about his intelligence all the time. And if he's nearly as intelligent as everybody says, and I think that he is, I think he can find himself on a roster in the NFL.
All right, there you go. There's our fast breaks.
All right. We're up against it here, right, at the hour. So.
Yep.
We'll just stick with it. Let's just stick with it. We got a couple texts here to the Sports Huddle. This is the WCCO talking text line, by the way. Oh, here's a good one. We were talking about quarterbacks that the Vikings have had. Someone mentioned Brad Johnson, probably the last franchise QB, Pete.
Yep.
Also a Buccaneers quarterback.
Also a Buccaneers quarterback.
He came before. Yeah.
It's amazing. You can pull that.
To the Sports Huddle, I think the Vikings have a way better coaching staff now than they had in 2009. Mm-hmm. I agree with that 100%. I was never, and I'll even go right at that team, I don't think Brad Childress was very responsible for the success that the 2009-10 team had.
Mm-hmm.
It was Brett Favre. It was Adrian Peterson, which had nothing to do with him. The defense was great because they had Les Frazier running the defense, if I'm correct.
Yep.
And he ended up becoming a head coach after that. But I think Kevin O'Connell is a much better coach than Brad Childress.
And his decision-making on his staff is what makes him even better, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that he's a great coach is one thing, and there are guys like that, but he's hired all the right guys. And by the way, next time you take a look at how many coaches the Vikings have, they have almost as many coaches as they have players. It's absolutely extraordinary to go through it, but it's working for them, and the Wilfs, obviously, they want those wins, and so they're willing to pay for all those coaches.
Well, we've gone heavily into the Vikings the first hour. We might not go as much in the second hour. So let's really quick here. Do you think they win in Detroit tonight?
I think the Detroit outscores them, so no.
What?
Well, sorry. Hey, you asked a question. I got to give you
I appreciate your honesty, but you're wrong. I think the Vikings win tonight. I think Sam Darnold escapes the pressure and has the best game of the season so far. That's it.
Could happen.
All right, hour number one of the books.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'll talk a lot more Gopher talk coming up next. You're listening to the Huddle on 830 WCCO.